Welcome to The Lively Show. Let's explore the beauty of being alive. Hello, my friends, and welcome to today's show. I'm so excited to do this episode. It's actually inspired by the recent classes I've been teaching. But before I go into it, I just want to also give you a little quick heads up in case you are interested. We're doing a little series. I don't know how long we'll do it, but for right now, we're kind of doing a little flashback and retrospective highlighting of different evergreen or self-paced classes that we've taught over the years in the past. We've covered a lot of subjects, and we decided this could be a fun thing to try to highlight different classes that you may not know that we have taught in the past. And we're going to offer a little discount on those classes to highlight one each month with a special discount. And this month, I thought, based on the classes I'm teaching, especially aligned business, from the conversations I've been having with the community in those classes, I'm realizing that there is definitely a lot of focus on money on the minds of some of our community members. So I thought, what better way for us to help the community than to focus on the class that talked about abundance? So Unlimited Aligned Abundance was one of the classes that included a multitude of different facets, including astrology and hypnotherapy with RTT. I invited my friends that are my personal astrologer and hypnotherapist, Rachel and Maria, along with me, doing this course with me. So if this sounds interesting to you and your intuition is intrigued, you can head over to bellalively.com/alignedabundance. And use the code MONEYMARCH when you check out, and that'll be 33% off for you for the rest of March. So if that feels like a fit, by all means, go and give it a shot. Start watching as soon as you want and as quickly as you'd like to dive in. Now let's go back to, like I said, this topic for this class, or this, it's not even a class, this podcast came from a class. And I have to say that once we spoke about it in the class, it became like super apparent to me that this is something that has been happening and recurring more and more over the last several years for so many people in our community that it really does warrant having its own podcast topic so that not only the people that I've actually worked with in these classes can feel heard and validated and seen, but also anybody else that hasn't taken classes but is maybe feeling like this is a part of the phase of their life or recent phases of their lives will also get the benefit of this message. So this is more of a recognition and an honoring and a confirmation and a celebration of those who are feeling the discomfort potentially or comfort, depending on everybody's place with it, about the courage to be still. So the courage to be still, this is something that we were speaking about. And as I have had many years and periods of stillness over the last 8 years of my own journey, I've seen so many of the community do the same. And I've seen the discomfort that often accompanies these periods of stillness for so many people I've worked with directly one-on-one through classes and one-on-one sessions. So I just want to, like I said, honor and acknowledge and just highlight that I know also as I say this, there's equally, if not even a bigger portion of our population in the community that also have potentially very busy, full, bustling lives with children and businesses and many facets and family members and community, you name it. There are many people, and definitely the majority of people, are very full in their lives with many things going on. And yet there is also a portion of the population that is not super small in size, in some ways might even be growing gradually over time as well, that are being called to stillness and more stillness in their lives. Maybe not from 100 to 0, you know, miles an hour, but going from 100 to 70 miles an hour or 30 miles an hour in the pace of the life that they were used to before. So these periods can last short periods, like part of a day, a month, a week. Some of them are going years long. And the courage to actually follow this stillness and allow it to happen is very uncomfortable. And what that looks like, just thinking off the top of my head from all the people that I've been working with over the years, some of them are definitely struggling or dealing and facing these kind of situations. Like they're not sure what work or business to do next. And they're having the courage to be still and wait until the inner voice guides them to what that next step is. But they may be waiting in some cases weeks, months, or years for what that is. or they're not sure where to move or live next, but their mind knows that a shift is coming, but they do not know where or when that will happen yet. Or some are sitting there not sure when to enter or leave a relationship that they have or one that they don't even have yet, or that they have the courage to wait until entering from their inner voice's guidance. Or some people, and this is many people, I get messages about this one all the time, for the cocoon phase of their journey, are not sure when the tons of emotional beanbags or past lives will stop coming into their awareness for clearing. And so the stillness is creating all this space for all of these things to come up to be cleared. And they're just like, when will this end? I get a lot of messages about that one. Or again, another tangent of stillness can be not sure when a chronic or ongoing health condition will shift or change. But all of these ultimately sit in a place where a lot of people are being still and not taking action from their minds or their humanness, or not as much as they're capable of controlling their minds to be still and to stay put, to see what will happen next, to follow the inner voice's flow. And so many people's inner voices are saying to wait, be patient, surrender, let go, allow, and be still. I know that this is very, very, very uncomfortable to the mind because it is culturally uncomfortable to be in mass consciousness while being still in 2024. It's just uncomfortable in mass consciousness to be still because you're going to get questions from the people around you, potentially in your community, depending where you're at more or less, that say, so what do you do? Or, and you have nothing to say to that because you don't even know, or maybe you've done something, but you're not sure what the next something is going to be. So you can say what you have done or what you're ending right now. Maybe it's a business or a career transition, but you don't even know what the next step is or what the next thing is. And then oftentimes once they know that there's something like maybe, or even like the health condition, they might start to try to give you helpful advice about your career, about your health condition, or about your spiritual unfolding. And they go, oh, well, maybe you should, or have you ever thought about? And they start to kind of try to support very kindly in most cases and innocently enough. But the discomfort of knowing that you're meant to be waiting and to be allowing and to be surrendering, and at the same time having this discomfort in yourself compared to others, or even seeing their own discomfort at your stillness reflected in their advice or their hopefulness for you or their perspective on you, can be at times very disconcerting. And I just want to say that that is happening for a fair portion of people right now. If you are feeling this way, just know that you are certainly not alone in this community. There are many people that are sitting in the sense of the dark. And that's why we did the From the Unknown podcast recently, is to actually address this unknownness that we don't know the next step. And can we have the courage to be still and allow the friendly new potentials to come in? But this is what we're, as a community, in a not so small portion, not the largest portion, but definitely in a solid portion of the community, witnessing. Or maybe, like I said earlier, it's an ongoing health issue. Two people stand out to me recently I've been working with one-on-one. One of them has some pain from an ongoing dental issue that needs to be cleared, that's been many years in the making, but definitely right now is causing a lot of havoc in her physical form and needs to be cleared out. And another person is going on 5 months of nausea through pregnancy. And both of them are wondering, when is the pain ever going to go? And when is the stillness that a lot of this physical pain is eliciting ever going to cease? When are they going to be able to go out there and take action in the world? Some of this is not only based on chronic pain, like I mentioned, a lot of it, I've known another community member that's taken a year off of her traditional work to go within, and she's coming out of that now thinking that her mind expected to have some grand vision and grand plan at the end of this week, 1 year later after leaving her sabbatical, starting off that thinking, okay, I'll come back with this clarity. And she's going, oh my gosh, here I am going back into whatever is next, but with still no clue of what that's going to be. In the history, looking back on things, historically, people used to devote their lives to stillness. These are people like monks, nuns, Buddhists, you know, those kind of religious and ascetic type practices. And so people devoted their lives to this, and it was kind of their jobs, air quotes on jobs there, right? It was kind of their profession. So if someone asked them in those cultural times, so what do you do? Someone could say, I'm a nun, or I'm a wandering ascetic. And so people could see that this was a function of society, almost, if you will, that their stillness and their devotion to their inward journey was in fact a public and inner service. But now people that have been accountants, teachers, Montessori preschool owners, jewelry designers, stationery designers, nurses, coaches, you name it, are now being called to periods. Opera singers are being called to stillness. And they're not the wandering ascetics. They're not nuns. They're just people that were living in professional kind of places and spaces at different points in their careers, potentially, and then taking long, sustained periods of stillness. They don't get to say they're a nun. They don't get to say they're a wandering ascetic. People just ask what they do and they say, and there's kind of this blank of what do they say? What do you say? Not that there is something to be said. I'm not trying to solve that as a problem, that you can't just be still. Actually, I think there's a lot of power in owning. You're saying, I'm actually just waiting for the next thing to arrive. I'm not sure yet. We're going to find out. It's going to be interesting. Hopefully it's going to be really, really good. And I'm really excited for it. It doesn't actually have to be filled in the blank with something particular. So I'm not making that question wrong, but they don't get that comfort of saying I'm a nun or I'm a wandering ascetic or I'm just a full-time meditator, right? And they're not even necessarily wanting to be. And in these situations, these people may not be full-time nuns. They can actually do their inner voice work and be just as connected and go through periods of stillness and periods of massive, joyful, aligned action as well and still be connected. And so can the people that are always just within. The point isn't about action or non-action. It's about being connected within to the right experience that the inner voice is calling forth, whether that's tons of stillness or tons of action. And for all the major part of the community that is in action, when it's in alignment, that is wonderful. And there is 0% wrong with that. And when there's stillness being called forth from within, again, 0% wrong with that, total alignment. So I just want to, like I said, honor those that might be feeling like a quote unquote weirdo for not being more productive for society, financial gain, and all that other stuff that people seem to by default expect people in society mostly to follow. So if you're being and amidst the mass consciousness and is moving and moving and moving at faster paces than ever before, and you're feeling kind of wrong because you're doing less or it feels like you're unclear of what to do next, please know it's not wrong if your inner voice is guiding you to it. It's not wrong. It's just uncomfortable to the mind. In fact, Madison, one of our community members, said this so well. She said, but the difficulty about this kind of phase is that because the alignment's only felt within, there's no outer alignment from things on the outside to feel good about. You don't get the people's approval of regular people in mass consciousness saying, oh, that's so cool that you're being still and you're doing nothing, as they would see it. You're not getting the alignment of your mind saying, oh, look at me doing all these things and getting this like productivity badge. You're not getting the alignment from seeing this something, whatever creative endeavor it might be, take shape. You're not getting in those stillness moments that outer alignment, quote unquote, of your mind, getting to see the joys of the physical world bending to your actions and activities, the ideas that you're coming from within. So the only alignment, as Madison put it so well, and so many people related to in the call, was saying that it's only come from within. It's only coming from the inner voice alignment. That's the only alignment in many cases that you can have. And I've had many of those periods myself and of that inner alignment only. I will add to that, that if you're in this kind of phase, I've said this to Danielle in the Beauty of Life series as well, please be kind to yourself. So yes, Madison's completely right. You're not going to get the societal or productivity or any of those kind of like badges of honor that the mind kind of likes. You're not going to get those outer world things that feel nice. But what you can still do is enjoy the beauties of the five sensory experience you're within as a human body on the planet. So you can get the inner alignment knowing you're being still like you should be. So please use that as like knowing that that is the solid, consistent thing you're going to get. And at the same time, go to the pretty cafes and drink. This is what I would tell my younger self who did do this, but I would reiterate to her to do it just as much as she did. I look back and I give my younger self just 5 stars for this. And I highly recommend this for anybody else that's going through these periods of stillness. When no outer alignments, quote unquote, are taking place, please remember to do the 5 sensory alignments at the same time. Eat the chocolate you truly love. Get the rose lattes you truly love if you like rose lattes like I did. do the things, like get the candle, smell the flowers, buy the clothes, like do the things within alignment of your inner voice that is aligning even while you're quote unquote being still. It might be walks on the beach. It might be staring at leaves and the wind and the trees. But whatever it is, please remember to savor the five sensory alignments that the human body feels good about. Maybe it's dance, maybe it's music, but think of those five senses and finding ways to find alignment with those, because you can still do those things. It's not going to give your mind the joy and the buzz of having your, you know, picture in a cover of a magazine or something like that, being like on Forbes, or you're not going to be on Shark Tank or whatever else your mind might be thinking would be great to have if it only had some activity to do. But the point is, you can still be in stillness and enjoy the physical world if you allow yourself to. Especially, I recognize that this is so powerful, especially for those that are more feminine energy based. I obviously have a pretty balanced energy overall, but definitely come with a more feminine energy bias. And I do feel like, historically speaking, a lot of our spirituality precedents and forefathers came from forefathers, the idea of the masculine. And so there's often a lot of like restriction and denial of the body and the pleasures of the physical world. And I don't actually think that that's helpful in a modern interpretation or necessary at this point anymore. I think you definitely can still have nice bedding while you're meditating or while you're being still. Like I did, I used to see my friend Mike go, I need to go to Vipassana and have 10 days away and have my phone taken from me and eat soup every day and get up at 4 a.m. and have to sit in like this uncomfortable position. I was like, well, you could just put your phone down, Mike, and just sit in your house alone. And that's what I actually did. So when I was having my many series and months of aloneness and Vipassana, I didn't actually have to take myself away from Uber Eats. I didn't have to take myself away from modern conveniences. I just had to know within myself that I could put my phone down. I could stay within. I didn't have to be trying to fill up my time with external people and places and stuff, but I could still enjoy the five senses. So I highly recommend that as one little hopeful piece of advice from someone who's been on the path of stillness myself, is that is something you can still enjoy. It's not going to solve your mind's existential concern about its worthiness or what's going to happen next on whatever category of stillness you're feeling called to, but it is something to cherish. And I remember looking back, even when I was in periods of activity, when I'd look back at those periods of stillness, I would never look back and say, I wish I didn't go to that beautiful cafe. I wish I didn't have that rose latte or that chocolate, whatever brought me joy on the physical senses, because those were in alignment within my inner voice as well. They definitely were something that made that journey, even though it still was inwardly challenging to the mind, it still made the experience physically on the earth pretty pleasurable and aligning, at least on that level. So don't feel like you have to give everything up if your inner voice isn't calling you to it, basically. And then when it comes to the discomfort, right? As I just said, which discomfort are you sitting with? And sometimes it's a huge shift and aha moment for yourself to realize that there's neither wrong or right in terms of, you know, whether you're in activity or whether you're in stillness. That's fine. Neither are also permanent. You're not always going to be in stillness. You're not always going to be in action in the 3D reality that is based on impermanence. But when you're sitting in stillness, and you're in alignment with your inner voice to doing so, please remember that your mind is unhappy about it, but you're in alignment. You're doing the thing. You're having the courage to be still, even though your mind doesn't want to. It's like your mind is this dog that really wants to eat the treat on the tip of its nose, but the owner has trained it to wait and wait and wait until the owner says it's time to eat the treat. That dog we would look at that was able to have that patience until the owner says, okay, now is the time to eat the treat. And it's just sitting there balancing the treat on its nose. We look at that and we say, what a well-trained dog. Well, our minds are not that different from the dog in many ways. And when you're uncomfortable, it's like that dog that's itching to eat the treat and wants to eat the treat and is so annoyed that it's being called to be still instead of eating the treat. But if you're capable of sitting still for 3 months, 3 days, or a year, look at that level of patience and trainedness that your mind has actually allowed yourself to experience. How cool is that? Can you celebrate the fact that even though your mind might hate it and find it uncomfortable and complain and not be happy about it at all, that if you're actually doing it, How good is that? If you've done it longer than you've ever done it before, look at the level of patience and allowing you've actually accomplished. Your mind might not think it's hunky-dory, but you can also at the same time recognize, oh my gosh, look at me. Even with all of this mental discomfort, I'm still acting in alignment with my inner voice rather than acting from my mind. How good is that? Commend yourself for that. Applaud yourself for that. Celebrate the fact that you've been willing to be still when your inner voice has called you to do so. And if your inner voice is calling you to be still and you're still running around keeping busy, air quotes, and kind of doing other things instead, just gently recognize that. It's not wrong. You don't have to beat yourself up over it, but it is something that you might later want to shift into, is having the courage to potentially look at being still. And being still doesn't mean you don't get out of bed every day. It doesn't mean that you don't go on a trip if you have a trip planned. It doesn't mean you don't take your kids to work. It just means that if you don't know what you're going to do next, or when the health condition's going to change next, or you're life is going to shift in some direction next, that you're okay and you're allowing that and you're not forcing mental activity just for the sake of feeling like you're moving something forward, that you're having the courage to wait, to be patient, like that dog with a well-trained mind, just ready and waiting, and allowing as much as you can, and adding the beauty of being alive in the five physical senses, and appreciating those little things like walks and sunsets and sunrises and naps and rose lattes, like I keep saying, or candles, or whatever it is, incense, you name it, whatever the joys are of the five senses, add those little joys in. Even in the stillness, you can still appreciate those. You don't actually literally have to be physically still unless a chronic disease potentially is calling you to, or your inner voice is asking you to be physically still. If not that, then add the pleasures of the 3D while you're in the stillness of allowing things to come to you. It's a different way of living. It's not typical to mass consciousness. Most people will not understand it. And I would also just say, if you're questioning this about yourself, in yourself, you're feeling kind of insecure about it and a little bit crazy because you're really uncomfortable in the mind about it, it's very likely you might have more of that people around you feedback trying to reflect basically that insecurity you might be feeling inside from their outside, because they might be picking up on that insecurity. And checking in with yourself and locking into the fact that you're actually walking the walk. And eventually it's going to have to change, because you're so committed to it that eventually your inner voice is going to have to give you something to do. So you know it's going to change sometime, and you're just willing to go through the journey, whatever it takes. Kind of like you're in a marathon. You're like, oh, I don't know how quickly I'm going to finish it, but I just know I'm not going to stop. I might nap, I might sit on the ground, I might go to lunch, but I'm still going to keep moving on this path of 26.2 miles. And eventually, today, tomorrow, or next week, or next year, I'm going to cross that finish line, just because I'm not stopping. That kind of feeling of the stillness, I'm just going to keep being still as long as my inner voice wants me to be still, no matter what it takes, means that eventually you will get somewhere. Your inner voice, if you're still following it and still in alignment to it, will bring you something. But it is that courage of that dog to wait for the higher, you know, the owner, but in this case it's your inner voice, to actually grant you the guidance of when to leap into action. And just know that you will. Just know that you will, and be willing to take the action as soon as you get it and that insight, and just be willing to wait until that moment happens and fill your life with the five sensory pleasures as much as feels aligning to you. That's what I have to say to you today. I just want to honor you if you're in this chapter, and there may be people in the very busy, buzzing chapters of their lives wishing for the stillness chapter to come into their own lives. And I can just say that probably if you're wanting it, it will soon, or soon enough, or maybe later happen. And there might even be micro moments of stillness your inner voice is calling you to if you're in the busier phase of life. So like I said, nobody's wrong, nobody's right. It's just about being in alignment to action or non-action, as the case may be, in the present moment for everyone throughout their journey. That's all that matters. There's not a right of action or a wrong of stillness. There's neither one is right or wrong. It's just about the timing of your inner voice guiding you in the now moment. So with that, my friends, I just want to say congratulations on having the courage to be still in a modern society that doesn't look at it as something to do. They don't look at being still as something to do. They think you need to do things to have something to do. You don't need to. If you're following your inner voice, you're just being a modern expression of consciousness in this reality, following the greater awareness that is within yourself. And it doesn't need to have a label like a nun, a monk, or a Buddhist, or a wandering ascetic in order to be so. We don't have to be permanently devoted to a religious entity per se in order to be connected to the divinity within ourselves. It's actually a divinity living in a postman, in a babysitter, in a mother, in a father, in a teacher, in a coach, in a person that's doing nothing right now, and that later becomes a stationery designer, and then later becomes a graphic designer, and then later becomes doing nothing again, and then later becomes a lawyer, and then later becomes nothing again, and then later becomes someone that just enjoys life before they pass away. Like, that can be truly the consciousness that's free enough to do that now. We're in a modern society where education and access to, I don't know, just so many different experiences allows us to have so many experiences within the same life. That wasn't as easily accessible for humans in the past. But now that it is, I think consciousness is definitely seeming to play with the variety of experiences it can have in this life without restricting it to just something or nothing. It could be a whole bunch of somethings and do a whole bunch of chapters of nothings within the very same life. How beautiful is that? Until next time, may something wonderful happen to you today.